Hello everyone, welcome to the Fieldworks talk number 7. Today we're welcoming the project Softicity with Natalia Miodragovic and our guest Ivana Franker. This is the number 7 of the series of talk curated by Jen Clark and myself, Maxime Le Calvé. This happened on the 25th of March. And there was a bit of mess with the Zoom recording, so I think this is still very much enjoyable. I'll leave you now with Natalia, who was already speaking a few minutes when Zoom managed to start again with the recording. So I leave you with Natalia.
Beginnings of architecture and its relationship to nature, albeit limited to the relationship between wooden and stone architecture, with extrapolation to iron architecture in the course of 19th century. And Gottfried Semper, who kind of launched this Stoffwechsel theory, he expanded the spectrum of materials of meaning with inclusion of arts and crafts and techniques of textile and also ceramics, with an effect that is also indebted to the metaphor of metabolism borrowed from biology. So for me, it's interesting this, how since origin in architecture is in biology, how we go back into architecture of algae, bacteria, and fungi, since there are some finite matter that we currently use, like concrete and steel, sand, yeah. So the exercise is to look at city as a conservation, looking into city as condensation of conservation processes in a multi-scale, through different scaled, layered, semi-permeable membrane, like prosthetics, in order to conserve yourself, clothes, clothing, storage, furniture, building, and pavement. So to kind of understand city like layers of envelopes, that we are always shielding ourselves from the terror in the thick air that we breathe. And then further, this shielding goes with the atmosphere. And so filamentation is a word that I like because scientists describe distribution of matter in space with filaments. So this is, Maxi knows some exercise that we did. It's a mycelium and in connection with this from Max Planck Institute in Munich, visualization of distribution of matter in space. So this exercise with mycelium is interesting because filamentation are also used, not like only mycelium and textile, but also in distribution of matter in space. So I did the, when Braunschweig, when Ivana was also teaching, I did some exercise with students to actually work with this material. And then it was interesting in a sense that another skills were needed, like innovative imagination, but also patience, because you deal with the living matter. And this to understand that all these layers of conservation could be made of something else. It was for young plastic minds easy to imagine, but also patience is something that you need like for cooking or something more than for building. And these are experiments with wool. So I will show also the project that I recently did. It's from a cluster. And then I put here that architecture as weaving is the process of matter, domestication and taming matter. And the construction terminology, like from Gerd, for example, connected this weaving technology into construction that is embedded in weaving practicing of taming matter. Like in German, Decke, it means a blanket, but it's also a ceiling. And the English also have like this example. And then tension, resilience, stress, frustrated geometry are all kind of terminology which is coming from material. This is one exercise collage because we started cooperation with Professor Regina Henge, which is expert for biofield. And then it's for Humboldt Forum. It's a big castle that it's rebuilt now in Berlin and it's point of big discussion. And when they said that we should do a project there, I pasted this bacterial network, this image from research of Regina Henge to the facade, like this is like a future of this castle. So I was looking a lot of filamentation of these bacteria that are swarming, and then how to upscale and to understand this process, which is very interesting because they have another time dimension, another scale, and also in the evolutional matter that between a couple of hours, you get the next generation of material, so to say. So these macro colonies, we were also working like ET. I say upscaling macro colonies, we were looking at filamentation of bacterial community, but also of us humans, like a team who was producing. So from these images, we were then making this, will be open end of April, which is basically made from rattan. It's a kind of palm tree. And then try and make like an exercise. Can we as a humans knit this kind of geometry where the voids are opening up to show the video and the research on the bacterial cellulose, because swarming bacteria, this biofilm is actually cellulose, which is also something new, because if you look, cellulose is traditionally produced by plants. So the notion of what cellulose is and who is producing it in cooperation with humans is also changing now. And here you see that it's a project which is big cooperation with Nelly Singer, Daniel Suarez. And then with colleague Skander Harubi, he really put some little bit of this rattan structure in biofilm was growing in between. So we see this growth as a possible method for this layered membrane of architecture. So this is just one possible imagination, how this would this future city look strange, or will be like we always do in architecture, what you currently have, you have building which are built to look like they are stone, but when you knock on them, they are actually hollow. They represent massive architecture, but actually it's basically styropor. So these are just some thoughts on fungi. Fungi in English, I'm telling Latin version, fungi, in English is fungi. So that fungi are super interesting. So for me, like something that I thought just to make kind of possible building material starts to be complete obsession. And this is why I choose it for field work, because it's really, I really dived in the field of mycelium and there is no way out. And we have here one of texts that I chose. It's about time. Fungi are time. They are decomposers. In the theater of matter that plays different time scales, fungi are dictating the time. They are giving pace to decay, changing the time that is to the time that is to the time that was for the materials, objects, apples, and humans. The black mold in your bathroom on the silicon seam is actually eating it. Heterotrophic by nature, fungi are one of the main protagonists of symbiotic lifestyle. Together with photosynthetic creatures, everything becomes their food and thus their habitat. Meteorites, snow, oil, plastic, and you. Materials have their own speeds, often invisible to us. Fungi allow us to grasp the material time. And this is another expert I was choosing about future. This is an image from International Space Station. They were making huge efforts to grow things in space, but then suddenly they discovered that on the International Space Station, there are living mold is living for years, like just by itself, which is very interesting since it's very high radiation in outer space. So material culture in 20th century is still around human master, and fungi are seen as material that will eat all, and by doing so reverse the pollution and waste-based production. Since fungi can really eat everything, there is a lot of hope that we can just continue to live what we live, and then fungi will eat all the bad things that we produce. In 2016, 8 radiotrophic fungi species got themselves invited on board of International Space Station, where environment has between 40 and 80 times more radiation than on Earth. The hope of the research is that they could become drugs, powerful sunscreens or composites that will protect humans from radiation on Earth and the long space missions. Material engagement with radiotrophic fungi brings within our reach and our consciousness awareness the possible futures. With them, we could possibly succeed to inhabit outer space or stay on future Earth in spite of high radiation level. So this also this is radiotrophic fungi are found in Chernobyl, that they are really eating radioactivity. Instead of using solar energy, they're using highly radioactive energy to feed themselves. And this gave like a possibility for us to go to live outer space because it's always radiation too high to live. An interesting thing, they are black and they have melanin, like the same that we have in the skin. And then when working with fungi, this came the question, this is image of Aurora Borealis, where you look in the sky and you very strongly want to see something. And then at the end, you don't know, do you see it or you don't see it? And then my field work is very often in my bathroom in the darkness, waiting to see the glow of a bioluminescent fungi. And this is how I thought then about Ivana, because this wish to see something that you at the end are not sure, did I want it to see it? Is it imagination or I really saw it? And this border between imagination and perception is where Ivana is made really interesting for a dialogue.
Okay, so it looks like I should get in. I would just like to say first, I'm sorry I'm like disappearing, but maybe hope it doesn't go to your nerves. But thank you very much, Natalia, for invitation, and also Maxim. It's really wonderful to be here and actually to hear about this research and meet the community and everything, and to engage hopefully in the conversation. I think this was because I was talking with Nadja about this a little bit earlier, and it's really exciting. And I just wanted to ask you some question, which maybe you skipped, but maybe you said in another way, but which is related actually to also to this perception and imagination, and also to the materials that you were talking a lot about, and about conservation. So you were saying that actually conservation is related to the to time and to somewhat energy, and basically how these materials are developing then actually forms the language, and then from the language we are defining some sort of mental states which are defining emotions, and then it's a question like what does it mean if actually mushrooms or fungi actually, we, through using materials which is made from fungi, how does this change our mental states and therefore perception, and therefore again the space in some sort of loop?
Yes. I don't know if you could be followed, but yeah. But this, I realized that this the words like stress and resilience, they are coming from materials, and then how if we kind of really change our materiality, how we at the end we change ourselves.
And you have some quote. You want to bring it out or not? No. The leotard me.
Ah no. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we have it at the end. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Should I look? I thought we have too short.
We have short version. That's why it's okay.
That is about energy, like a material state, not like some shape of object. Now I'm really kind of telling it fast, but this how can this energetic level be materiality? Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then the next thing is when you came here, you started showing me. Yeah, can I show it? So these are some fungi that.
Yeah, we have this. It's imagination, or it's you see it, or you imagine it. It's interesting. They don't. Yeah, okay. We have some mushrooms.
We can't see anything that you're going to hold up to the screen at the moment, unless you change your background.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they are very small.
Okay.
I think it would be great if you could come closer to the screen when you speak, because the computer is not so happy about this shifting, having two people image
so
as well.
We can change the background. Yeah.
It's very weird, but also for the voice when you speak, it would be nice if you come closer.
What you said to be more close.
Yeah, just like normal distances if you were typing. Thank you. So what are you showing to us now? I didn't get this.
It's a small mushroom. Yeah, even I wanted to tell that I was showing to her my mushroom.
Yeah, these are the bioluminescent mushrooms that you were growing, and that you wanted to show me that they're glowing. This is the image that she was showing just now. So we were actually in the dark, and then like waiting if actually we can see something. And then the question is, of course, you know, it takes time for our eyes to adjust. And then at some point you start seeing, but you're not sure if you're seeing or you're not seeing, but the whole time you're actually projecting something, you're trying to recognize what it would be, like you're trying to catch. And then Natalia was, actually bringing out this quote, which is by Anil Seth, who is consciousness scientist, who is actually working on the theory called predictive coding, theory of perception. And then he's saying that, and this is from the text from the book Retreat into Darkness Towards the Phenomenology of the Unknown, which we published in Sharing Stiftung, which where his text is called Controls Hallucinations. And here he's saying perception must be therefore a process of inference in which indeterminate sensory signals are combined with prior expectations or beliefs about the way the world is in order to form the brain's optimal hypothesis and of the causes of these sensory signals. So this is basically what is happening. And so what we see is the brain's best guess. So I think this was for you, it was important to actually bring this concept of perception into like how you can imagine this space further. And actually what I thought would be nice to mention in this conversation is the time that Natalia and me, we were working together in Braunschweig with students, and we were running the seminar, which was called Spatial Sensing, where I guess everything was also about like how by sensing you can create the space, and this space is always soft. Yeah, it's like that. So we wanted to show here, maybe you can also some images of one experiment that we did with students. So when they entered the space, they saw just this. First they didn't see anything because it's pitch dark, but then after a few minutes you see the circle. And then you would need to stay like 20 minutes to see exactly what is happening. But after a few minutes, your eyes adjust, so you see a little bit more. And then the experiment is actually, you can show, it's actually this. So you can see that there is a frame. It's some cellar in the university. Everything is painted black, so you don't have any reflections of light, which would show you how the space is constructed. And here you have one frame, and on the frame there is, it's interwoven with transparent lines, with fishing lines, which reflect one lamp, which is at the back. So the geometry of the lines is such that it actually creates a circle or ellipse, basically. And as one moves, this circle is changing its size and shape. So basically, this is what students see, and then they're architecture students. No? So they somehow have a way of representing their spatial experience. And then they were asked to fill some questionnaires and also make drawings of what they saw. So basically, these are some of the drawings. So they were quite confused as to where the space ends, like where this is positioned, as you can see, no? These are the different options of what they thought they were seeing. So the space that they were creating in their imaginations and the and actual space are quite different. And then there is, how do you connect this with the overall softness?
Wall disappear, no sense of surrounding. I felt uneasy, instructive of what I was, unsure of my position, even close to entrance felt far removed.
So this is, those are the words of a student that was taking part in this.
Yes.
You have a couple of minutes more, but then we have to wrap questions and discussion. Oh yeah, that's video of what the students were seeing in the cellar, and it's actually very intriguing. You see different kinds of cycles. And, oh no, this is your art piece actually, Ivana. Am I right?
Produced by students.
Oh, this one
is, this is you.
No, basically this is the artwork, and this phenomena of a circle is taken from this artwork to use it actually in experiment in much simplified version. But the artwork is working the same way. So basically you can see now only the person with camera is moving. There is no zoom or anything. Just the walking through the place. And that's it. It looks like this from one point of view. Okay, so.
Thank you very much.
We can close it here.
Yeah. Yeah, we took a bit. Rick Fardin is that.
Yeah. So we're going to open the discussion to the floor. Thank you very much. It was very refreshing and unusual, because usually we always have an anthropologist on board or someone who really is like working within the discipline. And here we have with two artists and architects, and that's really wonderful. And the way you work with students is especially inspiring, I believe. And this thematics around perception is also something that we can really build upon as well. Are you really seeing what you want, or what is there? And it's a big question for us in many different cases. But please, is there any question, anything, any urgent, pressing comprehension question maybe, or more open question? Let us know in the chat by putting a C or just...
There was one comment in the chat that just to make sure it doesn't get lost, which was around... the possibility, I think Natalia knows the person who made the comment, maybe there's a discussion that they might be interested in having about how you actually, for me, it relates to the question of time, and I'd like to come back and ask you a question about fungi, about mushrooms, and in relation to time. But there was a very technical, interesting question, which was basically, have you tried using long exposure photography? Maybe you want to speak to that.
It's not so simple.
Why is it not so simple?
Because actually sensitivity of the camera is actually not so high usually. And even, for example, for some of the works that I can just give example of some of the works that I was doing before, which are really, some of them are pitch dark with some very small lamps. Usually we need to, increase the light or somehow stage some situation which would allow camera to actually capture the environment a little bit. So basically the long exposure can work, but it can also not work.
Yeah, and then for mushroom, it's this. Yeah, I did get some result, as you see my famous photo, but then it's really not this what you see. And this, it's really like a research, how you make it close. Yeah, because I made a possible to make a photo, but then it was not really this, the glow and this, yeah. So it is interesting, and this also, of course, there is for sure maybe some research that could bring it better, but it's interesting, yeah. And
thanks. So maybe you can come back to the question of Jen about fungi and time.
Yeah, okay. So I have some practical knowledge of, I guess you would call them fungi that relate to wood in particular, to decaying wood structures in art that I've been, you know, found interesting in relation to forests, of course, as well. So both the living and the dead. But I was really intrigued by your point around how really, as a material, they are time. I was wondering about time since you mentioned how in your earlier microbial illustrations, you mentioned that some relation between upscaling and slowing down. So I was already thinking about time. And then you talked about how fungi are time. And then you described how they are time, but they're also eating everything. and that's what they are, and that they can eat pollution, they can eat radiation, that decay is a process of consumption. And I started really thinking about the excessive stuff. And so the theoretical thing I'm thinking around at the moment is the parasite. And I started thinking around these sorts of wood rot and various forms of fungi that bloom in forests, which are growing, and yet they grow on the excessive, you know, the stuff which is decaying and changing. And I just was really attracted to this idea, particularly in relation to time. And I'd love to hear a bit more of your perspective on that, please.
Yeah, because when you dip more into it, then you realize that fungi started, like life on Earth started pretty much with lichens and fungi, which is symbiosis, and it was 1.5 billion years ago. And then if you see, because I was really looking into these fungi that eat radioactivity or feed on radiation, that actually they just kind of remember, because planet was pretty radioactive in this time. And in the meantime, radioactivity decayed, but then now that we kind of, as humans, we produce this, not this background radioactivity from space, but we produce radioactivity, this kind of fungi of 20th century, this was Chernobyl, just kind of, for me, I thought they remember this evolution, early evolution, when the whole surrounding was this. So this kind of, it is impressive. And then this of decay, because they are degrading things, and otherwise everything will be fresh and new, no? And we will not know how all these are is food. So,
you were actually mentioning something about time in relation to bacteria, which was very interesting. Maybe you want to share.
Paladin and Maxine will know, because when you work with bacteria in several hours, it's a new generation of bacteria. So it's evolution until you work, like you work with material, but in the meantime is a completely evolution already happened. Yeah. So the colleague Skander Harub is really now looking into this, into material and phenotype. And because fungi are not so fast, but it's could be. And then this of upscaling, like what happens on this scale, it's so fast that upscaling means for humans means to slow it down to realize what's going on. So this is,
I see. Thank you. So, thank you for that. We have a question from Janine. Maybe you prefer Janine Madeline. I'm not sure, but please go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, actually, it's Janine Madeline. But thank you. It was a very interesting talk and wonderful material that you have been presenting. I was just wondering if you if this multi-species perspective did play a role in your work.